Father in heaven, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word, that it shine the light that it's commanded to bring into our hearts this morning and give us understanding. Hallelujah. As we partner with God in this great work, in Jesus' name, amen. And the Lord said, come build with me. Hallelujah. Well, today's lesson is an exciting one. I hope you'll be as excited as I am. Made in heaven, assembled on earth. You've heard me talk about it, but I want to go in depth into it today. I'm coming back into this series of awareness of who we are, of kingdom matters, and things like that. I'm coming back into that again because, you know, just like everything else, you can't just touch on the topic once and then leave it. You got to come back. You got to come back. You know, repetition, they say, is a law of lasting impression. You know, that's why Jesus himself said things many times, same thing many times over. And there are written same things in many places in the Bible, you know, to give us, you know, a more perfect understanding. Well, I am going to be sharing some things today. And throughout this lesson, I believe there will be certain punchlines that you may want to take note of. The first one is in the lesson title itself. Made in heaven and assembled in the earth. That's exactly right. And I want to start here in the book of Job, chapter 38. Many of you may know the story of Job. This chapter is fascinating. And everyone should read that chapter again and again to try to get incredible insight, you know, into the conversation that the Lord had between himself and Job, you know. And I will just be reading the first seven verses this morning, but powerful stuff throughout all that chapter. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this? A darkened counsel by words without knowledge? I mean, gird up now thy loins like a man. I'm going to demand of you and answer me. You know, I'm going to ask you some things. Let me see if you know the answer. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Declare it if you have understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Tell it to me. Whereupon, you know, who stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations of it fasting? I mean, tell me, if you know these things, who laid the cornerstone of the earth, the world and everything? Tell it to me. Where were you when the sons of God, you know, here's the part I'm going. Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you? And he's telling Job all these things. And there's many more things that he challenges Job in this chapter. And through that conversation, when you break it down, you find that, my goodness, there is so much power, you know, that we can get with God if we understand these things. Now, this part today is, well, when the sons of God shouted for joy, the Lord asked Job, where were you? Where were you way back in the beginning? Hallelujah. So we see the beginning of the sons of God way, way ahead of when they actually appear on the earth. Now, don't think here that sons of God are angels or anything. No. Angels are not the sons of God. You can read that in the book of Hebrews. And we covered this when we did the Hebrews series. Okay? So if they are angels, they are angels. If they are sons of God, they are sons of God. Now, these sons of God, remember Jesus told them in Luke chapter 10, when they came back from around verse 18 and so forth, and they were saying, Lord, all these angels, I mean, all the demons were subject to us and so forth. And Jesus said, look, that's not the reason. That's all good, but that's not the reason you should be excited. You should be excited because your names were written in heaven even before the world began. You were already made in heaven Glory to God. Made in heaven. But appear upon the earth and assemble upon the earth at the appropriate time. We're going to get more into that. But let me read to you one or two verses here out of the book of Hebrews. You know, just so you know that he's not talking about angels here. Glory to God. These sons of God, we were with him from the beginning. We were part of him. Jesus said, I myself, you know, Jesus was talking about himself in John chapter 8 and verse 42. And he said, I came forth and proceeded out of God. And well, likewise, the same thing with us. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you? I mean, which of the angels did he ever call a son? No, they are not angels. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be unto me a son. God doesn't refer to angels as his sons. Oh, no. He reserved that for us, you know. But for us, you know, and then he says again in verse, 13 of that same chapter. But unto which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? That's what they are. They are ministering spirits. They are not sons of God. They are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation. So who then was God talking to when he challenged Job? You know, and say, where were you when the morning stars, you know, sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Glory to God. Even way before Job or anybody else, even way before the world began, you know, God had preordained us and selected and chosen us in him before the world began. You know, so if you want to read more about that, you know, we, in the book of Ephesians, which we also covered before on this platform, it's all there, you know. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I mean, where were we? How could he have been choosing us before the world began? Because we were there. Sons of God were there. And he chose us in him before the world began and ordained that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us before even the world began, that we should come into the adoption of Jesus, I mean of children by Jesus Christ to himself after the good pleasure of his own will. All of these things were in his mind and happened way before the world began. That's why the world, I mean, the lamb also was slain before the world began. You know, now that's an interesting concept, but I have to lay that first before we go any further. You got to understand that, because people think that they just suddenly show up here upon the earth. You know, I mean, it's kind of like Christ himself, you know, when he showed up, and he was born in a manger and all of that. Yeah, people thought that, well, he just showed up. I mean, he just set up shop, you know, and they said, well, you know, is this not the son of Joseph? They even thought that he was the son of Joseph. Is this not his mother and not his sisters and brothers here with us? But no, you know, Jesus asked them himself. He said, look, why do these scribes say that Jesus or the Christ is the son of David? And if he there be his son, how come David said of him, the Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Jesus knew the answer, but he loved to ask people questions. You know, in fact, many times, you know, when they would ask him a question, he would ask them a question back. You know, Jesus himself knew that he was, you know, the root and the offspring of David. Root meaning, well, he was before, and offspring meaning he came later, but everybody only saw him as coming later. So he is asking them this thing that David said in Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I, you know, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So if Christ was his David's son, how did he call him Lord then? Because Christ was way before David. Listen to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the smallest out of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Glory to God. And we were in him the same time that he was there. That's a mystery that we, you know, people need to understand. The mystery of these sons of God. It was in his mind that we would not, Christ would not be the only son, but he would be the firstborn among many brethren, for whom he did foreknow. Romans chapter 8, you know, and verse 29. He also did predestine. You know, we were with him. That we will be conformed to the image of his son. That we will be just like the Christ. When it's all said and done, they will all come out and be exactly like the Christ. That's what he had in mind. That he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not the only one, but the firstborn. He will be the blueprint, but there will be many others just like him. Those are the ones we call the sons of God. Well, you know, let me show you a few more things. And you will remember when I taught the kingdom series, you know, I explained the differences between this kingdom and, I mean, the kingdom of the Lord and the kingdom of the world. We talked about citizens. We talked about ambassadors. We also talked about citizenship and ambassadorship. I'm going to give you a quick summary of that right now, but not go into all that because it's long and deep and we've taught it before, but it's pertinent to what we are talking about today. You know, for you to know that even though you are in this world, you are actually not of this world. And that is so important. You know, and sometimes we forget that. You know, so when we come into the kingdom of God, we're no longer of this world. We become a citizen of the government of heaven and of the commonwealth of Israel. You know, well, that's spiritual Israel. Now, we covered this when we did Ephesians, but you can read it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Say, look, we're no longer foreigners and strangers and all these things, you know, but we've now become, you know, members, you know, of his commonwealth. Now, Jesus himself, you know, in the book of John, chapter 18, you know, here is what Jesus said in his own defense. He didn't say much about the other stuff that they accused him of, but he did say this, you know, because he couldn't get away from this. I mean, you couldn't shut him up for not saying this. When he was before Pilate, he said, look, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. John chapter 18 and verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. I should not be delivered unto the hand of the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from thence. Now, where is your kingdom from then? If your kingdom is not from this world, you know, where is it from then? You know, this is it. And if you are part of that kingdom and Jesus said, my kingdom is not from this world, then it means you yourself, you are not from that kingdom. Now, it is important that people understand this. Now, you've got to understand this. This is so critical. Now, and apart from being a citizen, we talked about before, even ambassadors. An ambassador is first of all a citizen, but it is a, he is a higher class of citizenship. We are called in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, ambassador does not live in the country that he represents, you know, so, you know, or in the space that he represents, you know, he's in some foreign country. So, you know, likewise, we being ambassadors of the kingdom of God, you know, and the fact that we find ourselves here, you know, you got to put the argument together in your mind. That means you don't really belong here. You belong someplace else, but you represent. Hallelujah. That's what we do as ambassadors. We represent. Now, ambassadors are not appointed, you know, ambassadors are not voted in, is what I wanted to say. They are generally appointed, you know, the kingdom, United States, or whatever, they appoint their ambassadors. They're not voted in by people, you know. Now, God said in his word, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and also Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, that we have been made unto our God priests and kings. Well, if you are a king, you know, in which kingdom? If Jesus said your kingdom is, his kingdom is not this world. And sometimes we try to establish, you know, set up territory, set up things here on earth. Love not the world, 1 John 2 and 15. Neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, you know, the love of the Father is not in him. So we must recognize, you know, who we are, where we are from, and so forth. Listen to what Jesus, again, what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 23. Jesus was talking to the Jews, and he said it point blank, you know, and then, you know, we also need to be thinking and speaking like this. It's not pride. He's just calling it the way it is. Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. Now, if Jesus is not of this world, why are we trying to make ourselves of this world? You know, we should be like him. For as he is, 1 John 4 and 17, so are we in this world. Well, if Jesus said, I'm not of this world, then we should not be of this world. And we should not try to be of this world. You know, just trying to be of this world, trying to blend into, no, you know, he said, be not conformed to this world, because you are not really part of this world. You are here, assembled here upon the earth, but you were made in heaven even before the world began. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to be talking about that assembling in a bit, but I want to lay this precious foundation. It is so important for us to understand this concept. Now, this is something that is not often spoken about, but it is nonetheless, you know, things that we need to understand. Here is also another statement that Jesus made in John chapter 15 and verse 19. Now, you would remember this chapter where Jesus was talking about, you know, the vine and the branches and the husbandman and so forth. You know, now, in John chapter 15, verse 19, here's what he says. You know, he said, if the world hates you, let me read it from verse 18. If the world hates you, then you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, you need to be careful if the world loves you. Because, you know, Jesus said, look, no disciple is greater than his master. But every disciple, when he is perfect, he will be like his master. John chapter 6 and verse 40. John 6, 40. You know, but, you know, if we're trying to get the world to love us, well, you've already gone off the tracks. The world will hate you because it hated me before it hated you, Jesus said. Now, if you were of this world, that's John chapter 15, verse 19, then the world will love his own. But because you are not of this world, now Jesus is telling you point blank, you are not of this world. So wake up, saints. Why are we always still thinking that we are of this world? Jesus said, you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Glory to God. So remember that. You are not of this world. Don't try to be like this world. You're not of this world. That's what Jesus said. He put it right out there. So let's remember that. You know, yes, we do live in this world, but we are not of this world. Here's the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. Powerful prayer that we should read from time to time. I'm going to pick out just 3 verses, 14 to about 16. In that John 17 prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. You know, people have said that, you know, when people are about to die and so forth, you know, some of the things they'll say are the things that are uppermost in their heart. Well, maybe. But here is what Jesus said when he was about, this was his prayer, powerful stuff that he prayed before he went to the cross. He said here in verse 14 of John 17, I have given them thy word, praying to the Father, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So you see, Jesus put it right out there. And we need to align ourselves with this prayer and this thinking of Christ, and not go opposite or against it. And he said to the Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Just because they are not of the world, I'm not saying you should take them out. They've got a job to do. They have to represent. Glory to God. They've got to bring in everlasting righteousness. They've got to teach their people, you know, and so forth, you know, my words. Even as I have taught them, they've got to teach. They got a role, you know, to do. So Jesus' intention is not for you to be saved and then go to heaven. That's the farthest thing from it. He said, don't take them from the world. Leave them right here, but protect them from the evil, because they have a job to do here. The ambassador from heaven must do the work on the earth. That's why he doesn't want you in heaven. Not yet, at least. He needs you here. Heaven doesn't need you now. You know, the kingdom needs you here. Got to expand the kingdom right here. Say, teaching them to observe all those things which I have taught you and so forth. You know, so, you know, the powerful prayer that he prayed. Don't take them from this world, but keep them from the evil. They are not of this world. Verse 16 of John 17. Even as I am not of this world. Now, how many times is he going to say? He has said it enough times in these verses for us to understand that we are not of this world. So let that sink into our heads. We are not of this world. And an ambassador never becomes a citizen of the foreign country. An ambassador never does that. They do not conform to culture or practices of that country to which they are assigned. That's why Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world. You know, if an ambassador of the United States gets sent to Nigeria or some other place, they are not going to get there and start living like the Nigerians. They are going to conduct their business like an ambassador of the United States. That's who they are. Glory to God. You know, and when they represent, they will also speak only the things that the United States speaks. They will not comply to the laws of the land of the foreign land. They are not subject, you know, they have immunity against those laws. Now think about that. The laws of the world that we live in right now, mystery of iniquity that is walking and has been working in the children of men since disobedience in the garden. You know, these people who are coming now, of whom you are, who we are supposed to be ambassadors of his kingdom, we should not be subject to that. Should not be subject to the mystery of iniquity. We should not be subject. And the mystery of iniquity is what brought all these other things. Sickness, disease, all these things. You know, but the scripture says, you know, otherwise for us. You know, the ambassador must speak what the kingdom that he represents speaks. As a matter of fact, you know, it's been known that the United States does not represent, I mean, does not negotiate with terrorists. And so a group of terrorists may kidnap an ambassador and try to force them to do something different, you know, maybe kidnap, not necessarily themselves, but kidnap their family to try to force them to do something against, you know, the laws and the principles and practices of the United States. They still cannot do it. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, when your family falls sick, or you yourself, or any other thing, or anything that this world is trying to put upon you, what should be your position? Well, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24 says, the inhabitants of that kingdom shall not say that I am sick. Hallelujah. You know, and they that dwell in that kingdom, they will not be subject anymore to the mystery of iniquity, because their sins are forgiven. And these are things that we need to understand. Now, let me bring us to a few more things. You know, now that I've laid the foundation of we are not of this world, we are only in this world to represent the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, look, there's many places in the scriptures where Jesus said it. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said, look, you know, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is how an ambassador must think. The son cannot do anything of himself. You know, whatsoever he seeth the father do, likewise the son will do as well. Well, that's how we must think. We got to think along those same lines. Also, verse 30 of the same John chapter 5, he talks about the same things. We can't think of ourselves, you know, like we are here to do our own will. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. You know, but I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The ambassador cannot do his own thing. He must do the will of the kingdom that he represents. John 6 and verse 38. There are many more verses like this, but let me just, you know, read a few. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. And what is the Father's will? Powerful stuff that he said here. This is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Glory to God. But raise it up at the last day. Woo-hoo. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's a promise, and that's forever settled in heaven. Glory to God. He will lose none. Thank you, Jesus. That is powerful. And this is the stuff that we should be teaching to people. You know, that when they come into the kingdom, Jesus said, he's giving his promise, I will lose none, but I will raise them up at the last day. Glory to God. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Still about him not representing himself, but representing the business of the kingdom. You know, so this is important for me to put this out there so that we know, you know, what we are doing or should be doing. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. That's John chapter 7, verse 16. Now, so you can't preach your own doctrine. You know, got to preach what the Holy Ghost is saying. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether I be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself, you know, we have many preachers today that are speaking of themselves. They seek their own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. You know, so you see how Jesus put it out there. And that's important for us. You know, if we're going to be ambassadors, we need to know what kind of message we're supposed to be preaching. The message of the kingdom and the power and glory of the cross and so on and so forth. Now, that's not exactly my lesson today, but it's all part of it. You know, so the representatives, I mean, ambassadors of the kingdom, they have responsibilities to represent the interests of the kingdom that they are from, not necessarily the place where they reside. An ambassador resides in a foreign land, so we ourselves reside in a foreign world, basically, or foreign kingdom. Our kingdom is really part of, you know, we're really not of this world, you know, but we are of the kingdom of God. Now, let me go back to the sons of God who were made in heaven and assembled upon the earth. This lesson is really about the sons of God, you know, and we got to teach more and bring it out more concerning what the world is waiting for. Now, let me say this right away. The world is not, repeat, the world is not waiting for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. No. The world is waiting for the sons of God. And you can find that scripture in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. The whole creation, not just even the world, not just people in the world, everything that's in the, you know, cosmos, are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're not waiting for apostles. They're not waiting for prophets, neither evangelists, pastors, or teachers, but they're waiting for the sons of God. Now, let me explain the production, or if I can use human language, you know, the manufacturing of the sons of God. The production of the sons of God is after the manner of a manufacturing plant. Now, let me say that again. That's another punchline for today. You know, the production and, you know, this so-called manifestation. Manifestation, it means the unveiling or revealing. I mean, so it seems as if, you know, well, they're being hidden or something. I mean, where are they? Where are the sons of God? Well, here's what's going on with the sonship. What's going on is the production of these sons of God. It's like the manner of a, it's after the manner of a manufacturing plant. A manufacturing plant is generally not open to the public. You know, the workers in the plant, they have access to the plant. You know, they have access to the factory, but not everybody. But there is some work that is always going on in that factory. Now, for the kingdom and for the sons of God, here is what's going on. It's depicted in Ephesians chapter 4, and we can read from about verses 11 through about 13. And these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are the factory workers. They're working in the manufacturing plant. they're working in the assembly line. Now, the sons of God were already made in heaven, but these factory workers will put them together. I'm just using human, you know, terminology. Already made in heaven, but assembled upon the earth through the work of the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And what comes out, what rolls off that assembly line, if they do their work right, are sons of God. That's what the world is waiting for. Now, it's not the, you know, factory workers themselves. Nobody cares who the factory workers are. You know, if you see a beautiful car, you know, you go to the dealership and you see a beautiful car that you like, you're not thinking about who the factory workers were. You don't even care. Nobody knows and nobody cares. What you care about is what that car looks like. And you want one of those cars. My goodness. But nobody cares. Nobody even gives any credit to the people who made those cars. You don't care about that. But today we've turned the whole thing upside down. Instead of pushing out the sons of God, what is coming out of this factory, which this factory has now been rejected by the Supreme Judge, what's coming out of those factories now are apostles, prophets, especially. That's what's coming out of those factories. But that's not what God sent them to do. They are supposed to be the factory workers pushing out sons of God from that factory and that manufacturing plant. The assembly line, what rolls off of that line in the spirit realm. Open your eyes, you'll see it. That's what God is trying to show us. And if you look, you'll see it. There is a factory and there's some work that's going on there all the time. And the real apostles, the real prophets, the real evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are busy working for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the edifying means building up, you know, and what they are supposed to produce, you know, is people that are coming out of that factory that are like a perfect man. They're coming to the knowledge of the Son of God. They are looking exactly like the Christ. They are in the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That's it. Ephesians 4:11-13. Now, what should they be teaching? Well, the first thing that they should be doing as part of the work in the factory is to present Jesus Christ, who was the original Son of God, and show him in all of his splendor and his character, and point everybody to that, and make them believe on the name of the Son of God, and that through believing, they also may become sons of God. And through that faith, they may have life. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received Christ, to them he gave that power to become. It's a process of becoming, and it's happening in that manufacturing plant. It doesn't happen overnight, you know. And, you know, that's God is still working through the real apostles, prophets, teachers, etc., you know, to fashion these ones, assemble them together in the correct order so that they can come out in the maturity. Jesus is the light. And those that come to him will shine in that same light. Listen to also John chapter 20 verse 21. John was saying, look, there are many things that Jesus did which were not recorded, but we've recorded these, you know, just these ones, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and believing, you might have this life that we're talking about. And that's their role. That's what they're supposed to do. But today, that's not what they do. Today, they're busy promoting their gifts. They're busy prophesying. They're busy doing all this other stuff. You know, and nobody is teaching anybody, really, the character of the Christ. which was God's intention from the beginning. For these sons of God, he said, look, let us make them in our image, talking to the Son, that they may become like us, in our image and our likeness, have the character of God. And then they'll have dominion. You are not going to get that dominion if you skip the becoming like him and coming into his likeness. Can't do it. Those are prerequisites to becoming like him. I mean, prerequisites to having dominion. Now, there is the dominion to be had. Because a kingdom means a king's domain. That's where you get kingdom from. And in a kingdom, the king has dominion. And so God also gave us, you know, a chance to get into that. But the process is through becoming like him, learning his character, be molded and pressed more accurately into his shape. That's what happens in the factory. Pressed. And let me tell you something else about these things, this assembly line, and this made in heaven, but assembled upon the earth. When a spare part, I mean, when something is broken and it needs to be replaced, you got to order it from heaven. Woo! Glory to God. Order from heaven. Otherwise, you'll be using aftermarket parts. You need to get the original, the genuine parts that come from heaven. Now, when you order, it might be delayed, but you got to wait for the real parts. If you are in a hurry, you're going to use these make-believe parts. And the thing will not fit well together. And then after a while, the thing, when they are sent out, will be recalled. There's a lot of recalling happen right now. You know, I'm talking of the natural world now. And they roll out those cars, but they were not properly assembled. You know, it may take a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It may take however long. But one of these days, things will start malfunctioning. They start malfunctioning. Then they have to recall them. And you know all of this. And that's, you know, that's what's happening. That's what's been happening. Well, the sons of God that were supposed to have been pushed out in perfect order in the measure and stature of the fullness of God, but haphazardly pushed out because the factory workers were not doing the right thing. Well, they get out and they are broken. They are broken. Things don't work properly. The parts don't work. It's malfunctioning. And they have to be recalled. Sent back to the factory. That's what we are doing now. Let's go back and get fixed up the right way. Ooh, glory to God. That's it. You know, made in heaven, assembled upon the earth for a work. And this work, my goodness, the whole creation is waiting for it. And you know, Jesus, he did some things for 3.5 years or so. But, you know, he finished his own part and then left us here to do our part. And, you know, just like in the beginning, just like Eve was supposed to be the help meet, you know, a suitable help to help him finish the work, complete him. Well, these sons of God, individually, they are called sons. Collectively, they are the bride. They will also be, you know, they have a role to help complete certain things. Not the work of salvation, that's already done. But the role of bringing in everlasting righteousness. The role of crushing that image of Daniel chapter 2. Which many people think that, oh, they're fascinated by the kingdoms of this world. Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdoms of this world, at best, they are in a corrupt state. And they are doomed for destruction. Not a single one of them. You know, from the beginning, inception, you read that story in Daniel chapter 2. And in the days of this kingdom, he said, well, you are the head of gold, and so on and so forth, went down the line. And in the days of these kings, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, God will set up a kingdom. And in as much as you saw that stone cut out of the mountain with our hands and crash that image, that's exactly what is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So don't try to align yourself. Some people are even looking to certain political parties or political government to bring them redemption. You know, that's not going to happen. And that's been, you know, that means your mind is already aligned to this world. Now, we are in this world. We're supposed to pray for them, do the best we can, show them the example, even teach them when we, you know, where we are, teach them and influence the kingdom. Daniel influenced his kingdom, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, Daniel had an opportunity to be conformed to the things that they were doing in Babylon, but he was not conformed. He stayed right with his God, the integrity of his heart. He prayed, made prayer a business with God. He stayed just like he was with God, and he was not conformed. And at the end of the days, he influenced the kingdom in such a way that the king finally said, you know, anyone that does anything against the God of Daniel, Masheta Lobo, Sandy Kamoria, they will be cut in pieces. I make a decree everywhere in my kingdom. You know, they influenced the world that they were in unto righteousness and unto the fear of God. That's it. They were not after material wealth. Even though they were promoted, received material things, they were not after it. Glory to God. As even one time, Darius and all the rest of them, they'd offer him gifts and everything. I'll give you gifts. I'll promote you to the, you know, height of the kingdom. He'd say, your gifts be to yourself. But nevertheless, I will interpret the dream for you. The handwriting is on the wall. And he made no, he pulled no punches. He called it like it was. And you better repent, you know, and maybe, you know, you can turn to righteousness. There might be a lengthening of your kingdom if you turn to the works of righteousness. You know, maybe God will have mercy on you. But he didn't listen. You know, but they called it out the way it was. They were not looking for gains. Gave him gifts nonetheless, but he wasn't looking for it. He called out the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the handwriting has been on the wall against this nation of the United States and the rest of the world are following after all these evil things. They call evil good and good evil, and they put it to the face of God, you know, to try to hate God to his face. Well, you know, if you want to be a part of that system, you make yourself an enemy of God. You know, if you love this world, he that loves, you know, the world is an enemy of God. Point blank. You know, but what we know is that there is coming a day, and it's happening now. You know, there is a building up of an army that are going to destroy all that mystery of iniquity, you know, all that image stuff all down the line. God is raising up a kingdom to defeat it all. And to smash that thing to pieces. That's exactly right. You know, and so in its present state, all the kingdoms of this world at best are corrupt. And they have been judged and found wanting by the supreme judge. And they will be crushed. That's it. Now, it may not look like that today, but it's coming. Because not one word of this, you know, of the word of God will be fulfilled. So let me read it to you in Daniel 2 verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And that new kingdom shall stand forever. And for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain with our hands, and that it break in pieces, break everything, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, and so forth, God is showing you what is going to happen. Praise God. And that, well, and then Daniel would say, look, the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is sure. That's it. It is going to happen. God's going to smash all these kingdoms. How will he do it? Well, he's preparing the sons of God that will appear, and they will bring in righteousness. Glory to God. We got to do it too. And first, you know, they are being recalled back to the assembly line if they were not assemble properly. If there's any malfunctioning, there is a recall. And you know, those factory workers that are not doing their job right, they are also being replaced. You know, that's it. They're being replaced, but they're not doing, if they do their work right, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they themselves will partake of the same, because the laborer, the husbandman, he said, is first partaker of the fruits. So they themselves will be partaker. But must not preach themselves, for we preach not ourselves, the Bible says, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we are your servants for his sake. So that's our lesson today. There's more to be said when I continue on this series. Today's lesson is about we are be made in heaven and assembled upon the earth. And if anything breaks, you got to order genuine, they call it OEM parts, you know. You got to order genuine parts from heaven. You cannot take aftermarket parts. You know, you can't take any bootlegged version of the parts. Oh, no. That's why the Lord said, look, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, when we are sick and all of these things happen, which may happen, well, first thing is the inhabitants of the land will not say, I'm sick. But if indeed you were, then you got to go to the source. You know, the real ingredients that can put you back together must be ordered from heaven. And if you take these fake aftermarket parts and glue them together, well, you can't put a piece of a new garment on an old. It will be rent. And two of them will be destroyed. The rent will be made worse. Neither can you put new wine in old wineskins. The wineskins may bust. The wild wine will spill and be wasted. But we must get the genuine parts. And the genuine article is identified by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Or by their fruits, you will know that. And when we need something and something is broken, we got to go back to the source. Now, I challenge all factory workers, all who are waiting for this visible breaking forth. I challenge them in the name of the Lord. Go back to the drawing board and do the right thing. Look at the blueprint. And put those things together according to the blueprint. The assembly line must follow a pattern. If you get things out of order, you know, it's not going to work. And I guarantee you, there are many products that are discarded inside that manufacturing plant. When they check it and there are defects, they are discarded. They are either taken apart and the parts recycled, or they are sent back to the beginning of the assembly line. Didn't work. You know, they got to make sure it comes out just right. Otherwise, years later, there will be a recall. Glory to God. And you know, when those cars come out of that factory, They send them to these places. They have these places that they have curated in different parts of the world, you know, to test, to put those things to a test. That's where they figure out how many miles, you know, per gallon they can go, you know, how fast they can get from 0 to 60 and how many seconds they can do it. I mean, how long can they go on a full tank of gas? You know, what is the torque they produce and all of these things? You know, they put them to the test and we smash them through many things and see how they survive and put all those things to the test before they come out and they say, yeah, we're announcing a new line. You know, but, you know, a lot of work goes on underneath before they finally push it out. But once they push it out, oh my goodness, people's hearts are pumping because they want that. And say, wow, I got to have that car. Glory to God. That's what the creation is waiting for. They got to have the sons of God. They need that, you know. And some of them don't know that that's what they need, but that's what they're waiting for. And that's it's our job. When you come out of that assembly line, oh my goodness, you're shining for that light in this crooked world. Glory to God. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine when you come out of that factory that people will see and want to be like you and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. People will take knowledge. Say, my goodness. Because the Bible says we are epistles read of all men. Ladies and gentlemen, now that is our lesson today. What does that all mean to you? Well, let me wrap it up by saying this. Number one, here's the summary of what we have said. You must remember that you are not of this world. That is so important. We are not of this world. That's number one. And stop behaving like you're part of this world. Stop trying to blend in. You can't blend in. If you blend in, then you are already off the track because you are not of this world. You know, and then stop speaking like the world. Don't say those negative things. Remember our lesson, you know, of, you know, think no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, hear no evil, and all of that. You got to speak the word of God only. Hallelujah. Because if you don't, according to Isaiah 8 and 20, say, then there is no light in you. If anything is not according to this word, there's no light in it. And 1 John 1 and 5 tells us God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So when we allow darkness to be in us, then we can't really be a part of God. That's our first lesson, or first part of this lesson, to know that we are not of this world. We are made in heaven, although assembled upon the earth, for a purpose. And the purpose is not for us to be saved and just go to heaven. That's not the purpose. If that was the purpose, Jesus would not have prayed that the Father should not take them out of this world. He would have prayed and said, Father, as soon as they believe in me, bring them hither. Get them out of there. No, he didn't pray that. As a matter of fact, he prayed the opposite. I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Even I know they are not of this world, but they got a job, you know, to do. And so, when we understand that, we must also communicate the same. You know, and then let's not go compass land and see about and make a proselyte and then make them twice the child of hell. That's what's going on today. This wishy-washy message that the church has been preaching. You know, and we are not talking about the light. We're not talking about Jesus Christ. We're not talking about his kingdom. We're just talking about all these other things which have no basis or no foundation. And at the end, the products will be broken. They're so broken because they're giving a false foundation. And they are broken. They can't stand the test of time. And many of them fall away, sadly. So let's build a solid foundation. First in ourselves. And then also preach a solid foundation. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. This is the gospel of the kingdom. That's what I'm preaching here today. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's another punchline. The end is not going to come. You can wish it, can pray for it, and do anything you want. It's not going to happen until this gospel of the kingdom is being preached. That's what he says right here. So if we want the Lord to come back, we want the end of these nonsense kingdoms that we see here, then we better be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, not just some gospel that we want to preach. I don't even know what gospel it is. You know, not just these messages of the world and prosperity and all these other things that we are focused on. That's not going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it is the gospel of the kingdom. And to preach that, you got to understand it. So I've been teaching it, and I will teach it some more again the next few days, God willing, for us to understand this. But it begins with us. It begins with this message. Don't know that we ourselves do not belong to this world, made in heaven, assembled on earth, and left in the earth for now for a purpose. Hallelujah. And so, Father, I thank you for the lesson today. I pray that this word will be expounded in the hearts of everyone by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, Spirit of truth, he will bring to your remembrance the things which I've said. And he will go deeper. Hallelujah. Like, Lord, I pray that people who have engaged this message in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that gives life. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. So ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to these lessons, you got to engage in the Spirit. Otherwise, you'll learn nothing if you engage in the flesh. But when you engage in the Spirit, Holy Spirit will take you into dimensions. And it will show you things beyond what the speaker said, that align with the message, a deeper, a clearer understanding. The purpose is that we may be pressed into a more accurate shape. And then when we come out of that assembly line, my goodness, it's looking really good. You know, that's what God did at the beginning. He looked at it and he said, my goodness, it was very good. Everything he called for, he looked at it and it was very good. And so that's what we must do. And those sons of God, as they roll out of that factory, and that assembly line, they must be looking very good. And that's you, and that's me. Father, we thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.